are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 Podcast. It is Monday, April 12th, 2021. On the show today, Rafael Barlow of NBA Draft Junkies joins me again to discuss some of the other guys in the Big 12 draft class coming up in the NBA draft. We discuss a lot of the players from Texas, two guys from Texas, Kai Jones and Greg Brown. We discuss Deuce McBride. We also touch on the KU guy that we knew at the time in Oshai Agbaji. Since we recorded this, Jalen Wilson did say he is putting his name in the NBA draft. He does have the ability to return, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, we hit on Austin Reeves as well. So fun show coming your way. Some of the other guys that aren't as talked about as the Baylor boys and Cade Cunningham for this year's 2021 NBA draft. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Yep. Let's go Texas guys. These are two of the more compelling dudes in the draft. Greg Brown, let's start with him. So Fran Fraschilla put it pretty well in their game against Texas Tech, because this was a disaster for Greg. They had to take him out of the game. He was in the tunnel. They couldn't put him back in, and they had to put, you know, Brock Cunningham, you know, just hustle guy in the game for a five star, because he had a mental breakdown, which is, it's fine. Like, you can go through those things, but I don't know if what happened at the end of the season and then going to the NBA draft is the right move for him. I know it sucks because his coach left, but maybe finding a new home and giving it one more year to let everything come to you is smart, because he was really pressing. Like, the game was not coming to Greg Brown this year. He kind of came to it and still had some really awesome moments. It's not like he's a horrible player, but he's got a lot of work to do, especially upstairs, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think Greg Brown is kind of like the downside that we're seeing of all the hype and expectations on a kid. I mean, he's probably, 18 or 19 years old, came into the season. Everyone had hyped him up as a potential lottery pick, one of the best players. And he unfairly didn't get a chance to be a freshman and go through the ups and downs. So much was expected of him. And I just think the pressure kind of got to him. He got off to a slow start in a sense, and then I felt like he was starting to pick it up. Like, there were games where you felt like, okay, he's showing what he can do. I'd say like the Oklahoma State game was an example. But then, like, after February, I mean, he really struggled. I want to say he probably only scored double figures maybe two or three times after February 1st.
It was only a couple times in February. I mean, and the last five games he played, 9-4-2-0-3.
Yep. And even the minutes, like, you just started to see the minutes decline.
Well, they couldn't play him in the tournament. I mean, that game, they could have used an X factor against Abilene Christian, and they didn't feel comfortable putting him out there. You know, he only played 6 minutes. And, you know, they just, I don't pretend to know how to fix that kind of stuff, but what's going to matter for him is fit. Like, he's really going to need a good home and a team that's going to take care of him and foster his development.
Yeah, I could see him going to the draft and a team like, let's say, Toronto, who I feel like they have a very strong developmental program, take him, and you're able to get him in a good situation now because his stock has fallen to where he's not going to be like a lottery pick or mid-first round pick. So he could end up going to a team that can be patient with him. Not saying Toronto's in that position this year because they're in the lottery. But, you know, let's say he goes to Denver, you know.
I was going to say Michael Porter Jr. in Denver is kind of they were really patient with him and looked how it turned out.
Yeah, even like Brooklyn, Lakers, you know, like the Rockets are going to have a couple picks, which they're not good. So he'd have to play there. But like, you know, I'm looking at the teams that are late in the first round. You know, you got your Jazz, Suns, Nets, Sixers, Clippers, Lakers, those teams where if he falls to them, they can play him in their G League, let him develop. And I still think, like, at best, he may be like a Derrick Jones Jr. type player, maybe a little bit higher upside. But, man, he is a freak athlete. He has the physical tools and you know, attributes that you really can't teach. You just kind of have to figure out, can you find a skill set for him that he can maximize? So I think he should, well, I guess he should stay another year. Most of these guys should stay another year. He should, and he needs, but he's probably not. It's kind of weird because it's like the reputation guys build in high school prior to college can help them still get drafted, even though they don't have like a really strong year as a freshman.
Today's show is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You guys know the deal. Football season is long gone, but right now we are in the heart of basketball season for the NBA and college hoops. NHL is in full swing, and here comes baseball as well. Also, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for a 50% deposit bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Well, I think his dad played football and basketball at Texas. There's that connection there, obviously a lot of pressure. I would be super interested to see him go back with Chris Beard. And I love Chris Beard. I think Chris Beard's going to be an NBA coach one day. To play for him, you need to be a
dog.
Yeah. Like we even saw this, like Matt, you know, Mac McClung is a guy who's considered going to the draft. Is a dog. And, you know, at one point this season, I mean, like he wasn't good enough on defense. And basically, you know, Chris Beard's like, look, if you're not going to be a 40%+ field goal shooter and you're not going to play good enough defense, you're going to the bench. Right. Yep. And so I think that would be a good learning experience for him. The fact that from the outset, you're going to have to earn that time. I don't think Shaka made him earn the time in the beginning of the year that maybe he should have. I think kind of Shaka almost succumbed to the idea. It's like, you know, this guy's such a good player. And look, he was playing pretty well too. But once you get in that grind of the conference season, especially towards the back end, man, the NBA is just like that, you know?
Exactly,
I mean,
yeah.
When those games get condensed because of the COVID pauses and stuff, like that's life in the NBA, right? You know, you go to Portland one night, Utah next night, Los Angeles, you got a couple games, Sacramento, you fly back home and you're, you know, it's just kind of the nature of the league. So you got to learn how to mentally endure that grind. And that's going to be something that he hasn't learned yet. And I think he's also behind the eight ball because the skills aren't there. Once again, world of talent. But there's a lot. I wouldn't touch him because there's too many factors.
Yeah, I mean, I would just because he's so young. And if I'm a team selecting late in the first round, I have time to develop him. And it's not going to cost me as much as it would have if I was selecting him in a top 10 where, you know, you're kind of forced to play him in a sense. But, you know, Michael Porter Jr., who was still, I want to say, like the 15th pick or something like that. Denver was able to take their time with him,
right,
even though the situations are totally different. One was injury related.
Yeah.
You know, we always knew that Porter had the talent and the skills to match his talent. With Greg Brown, it's more so like he has the talent. Now we just have to find a skill set. But yeah, I mean, I would draft him and just kind of be patient with him.
All right. The other guy, I love this guy, Kai Jones. So first thing, if you're going to look at the numbers, he had Jericho Sims in front of him, who actually I think could be an NBA player as well because he's so athletic and he's big. So I think his chances he could play some. But Kai Jones is a super athlete. He's 6'11", and he had a sequence in the Texas Tech game in the tournament. He blocked a shot. He caught one in the post. He hit this incredible turnaround fader. He hit a three in the corner, a three in the corner, three top of the key. This guy's got a chance to be really, really good. Like, I think he's got a chance to be like really good. And I like the fact that he was peaking towards the back end and not a guy who ever complained about minutes. Like whatever he got with his minutes, he always made the most of them. And I think you saw it towards the back end of the season, you know, 10-7s, 13s-5s. I mean, whatever minutes he got, he was efficient. You know, you've shot 58% on the season, a 38% 3-point shooter. So didn't take a ton to go around, you know, 1-3 a game, but a lot of that's because of minutes. Pretty good 3-point shooting for a guy who's 6'11", and then 70% on free throws, obviously something he can improve on, but he's got the athleticism and he's starting to develop the skill set where he could be something pretty special.
He is a scary prospect for me because if he ends up being a 5-time All-Star, I wouldn't be shocked. If he flames out, I wouldn't be shocked.
If he's playing for Olympiacos in 2 years, yeah, he wouldn't be shocked. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this. Like, you see the talent. You see him do stuff where you're like, I haven't seen too many guys at his size move like that. Just the footwork, a step back, transition. Like he's just so talented and so skilled. Sometimes he makes you wonder, okay, can he do more? You know, why isn't he, you know, like I want to say, just if you just go talent for talent, just skill for skill, you can say that he's one of the top 20 players in all of college basketball. But then you see the production and I mean, he's still raw to me. I mean, he's obviously, I mean, I'd say Brown is raw too. He's more skilled than Greg Brown, but it's just something about him that scares me. But with all that being said, I am definitely selecting him if I'm an NBA team and he's available in the, you know, right outside the lottery.
Let's go with a couple guys who are players that are, you know, older guys that they're going to get a chance. First one I want to talk about is Deuce McBride. Miles McBride of West Virginia, for those of you who don't know. He can score at an NBA level now. I'm 110% sure of that. If you watch him this year, the guy just can, I mean, unless it's against 2-3 zone, the guy can score. The guy can flat out score the basketball, no problems. Go back if you want to watch a game, Texas Tech game earlier in the year. He goes toe-to-toe with Mac McClung, hits a game-winning shot. He's got no problem scoring. The defense could be an issue. He's a really good athlete, a guy that could have played football in college, probably would have been like a wide receiver, was played quarterback in high school. So really good athlete. He's one of those guys in the second round that I think it would be a great snag for a team maybe that's, you know, it's already pretty good, right? I mean, we saw how, I don't remember if Javon Carter, was he a first or second round pick? I forget which.
I think he was a second round pick.
Yeah, not Javon Carter in terms of defense, but a guy that played, you know, for the same coach, is tough as hell. And mm-hmm. If Bob Huggins gives you the stamp of being tough as hell, then you're tough as hell. Yeah. So if I'm in the second round, you know, and I'm around in the 40s, you know, and he's there, I mean, I need a guard off the bench who'd give me some points. That's no brainer in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that, you know, he's got the reputation for being tough simply because he plays for West Virginia. And then, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, West Virginia.
Yeah.
And you mentioned like the defense could be an issue. And how often do you hear that with a Bob Huggins type player?
They were horrible at defense this year, though. Let me tell you, this was not a typical Bob Huggins team.
Right. But yeah, I like him. I mean, I think that, man, he could end up, depending on like how these workouts go, I could actually see him surprising somebody, maybe going like really, really late in the first round. But then it's such a wild card. He could end up being selected in the 40s or 50s. I think he's an NBA player. I think he's going to find his way. And he's someone that probably could end up spending a lot of time in the G League. Or if he goes to like a bad team, you know, he may not be in the rotation until maybe like March. And then I think that's when he'll really get a chance to showcase what he does. But yeah, I mean, I like him as an NBA prospect. And shows how deep this Big 12 prospect pool was, is that you know, you had all these guards, and you can say that I don't know, is he like the fifth best guard in the conference?
So, I mean, there was time for me, I mean, I actually had an episode at one point, this was in February, I was like, are we not giving him enough love for conference player of the year? Because I mean, he is that good of a scorer. And generally speaking, I mean, I'm sure you can tell at this point in time, I really do lean towards the guys who are proven commodities, just because I think there is something to be said. Like, if you're one of those teams that drafts later on in the first round, right? You know, you're a playoff team, and you could add a guy who you know you can play immediately because, you know, like, and just ask them to do. I mean, I think the Spurs were always a great example of this. They would come in and they would ask guys to do the one thing that they do really, really well and just try to hold serve on, you know, on defense, right? So, you know, Tiago Splitter, we don't want you scoring. You do not shoot the ball, right? You know what I mean? Marco Bellinelli, your job is to, you know, shoot in the corner and things like that. You know, I love it when teams bring guys in like that. And so I think it's kind of situations, you know, where these guys are meant to flourish. Desmond Bane, great example before his injury. You know, I know Memphis isn't a proven playoff team, but they just said, hey, plug you in, 3-point shooter guy, come off the bench. We know he's a good defender, strong kid. It works. I think McBride falls into that category of one of those quality guards, a little bit older. I mean, I don't think he's that old. He's a sophomore this year. So quality guy, a little older, proven skill set. We can plug and play you. I'm partial to that crowd. Just because if I'm a playoff team and I know I can get a little bit better, even if it's incremental, I'm still cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's 20 years old. So he may be 21 around draft time. And what world do we live in where if you're 21 years old, college student, your stock kind of drops?
Do you like that? Like, how do you feel about that? I mean, I said, it's a futures market, but how do you feel about that generally? I think too often we look at age as we discount age too much, or we account for it too much rather.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, because they figure, all right, this guy is 22. He's 4 or 5 years away from his prime. While this guy is 19,
right?
He's still, but then I don't know, man. It's just kind of tough because you look at guys like Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, CJ McCollum. All these guys weren't like one and done guys. They were experienced college players, and they're doing pretty well, you know?
Right.
But then you also have, you know, the guys that like, you know, that were one and done that have been successful. I don't think it's a exact science, but I feel like if I'm a team, I want someone that I can come in and help me win now. But I also feel like if I'm a good team and I don't have a lot of rotation minutes, then I may take a guy that is really talented and that I can slowly develop him. So I think it just depends on the team. I feel like Desmond Bane was going to go to a good team. I didn't think he'd go to Memphis, but I forgot somebody drafted him. He was traded to Memphis, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it the Celtics?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yep. So on my mocks, I kept saying that Desmond Bane is going to end up going to the Lakers or the Bucks. He's going to go to one of these good teams.
That's what I thought too. I wanted them to, and in turn, I mean, Memphis is not a bad team, but like I thought he'd be like perfect on a LeBron team. You know what I mean?
Yep. So yeah, I mean, I think like in that situation, this is probably good for him, but it's just not an exact science, man. But it's just tough to say.
A couple more guys. One person I will be tuning into all of his summer league games is Austin Reeves. He's got the playground arsenal. I mean, this guy, it's weird. So he comes over from Wichita State to Oklahoma as a shooter, as a guy who's a sniper. That went away. I mean, he really struggled shooting the basketball during his time
like
at
30%
Oklahoma.
30% or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was sub 30 at one point this year. And so, you know, I am concerned about that. But I think the fact that he was a good shooter is something that's good. I don't know where he fits in the NBA. I really don't. But he's got that playground game, right? He's got that, you know, runners, leaners, 1 foot. He's got a nice step back. He's a guy that can score for you in the right situation. I think a lot of times I view him negatively because in the end of games, he just kept shooting and the defense was like, you've been doing this 3 or 4 times in a row. We're ready for it now. Yep. The NBA won't be like that at all. So I think as a guy who gets to pick his spots more in an NBA setting, because he wouldn't be playing that much, that's a spot for him. But I could see him being I watch a decent amount of EuroLeague. I could see him being a EuroLeague guard.
He's going to be a star.
He scored 40 points for Maccabi Tel Aviv today. Like, now anybody shocked? Right. I mean, he's got I know Europe's game is very fluid, and it's, but there are a lot of those guys, you know, those guards who are able to show off their skills there. And I think he might fit into that mold.
Well, at the very minimum, he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
he looks like, and I mean, I don't like pulling out the race car, but what makes him so fun to watch is he doesn't look like how he plays.
Exactly.
So right. Like if I walked into a gym and I saw him, and this is probably being stereotypical, you say, okay, he's a shooter, stay on him.
Right. You know, exactly.
Don't let him get a good
look. Which funny enough, you were right. If you talked to 19 to 20 year old Austin Reeves, that would have been correct. You know what I mean?
But he's dancing with the ball. Uh-huh. He's tough. He's got the crossovers. He's definitely fun to watch. I think that he's, his age is going to probably factor against him. And here's my prediction for him. He's going to maybe get drafted in the second round. He's going to lead the G League in scoring. And then he's going to have to decide, do I want to keep chasing the NBA, or is, you know, like, one of these EuroLeague teams going to offer me $2 million a year?
I'll tell you what. I think I know which one he'd do. He's got a brother who plays in Europe. So I bet his brother would say, hey, man, look, you know, it's time for you to come here. make that money, you know, make that seven figures, you know, it's, that's what you want to do and stuff. And then look, there's still an opportunity to come back over. I mean, a lot of guys though, they love it over there and they stay.
You know what I mean? I've lived over there. I lived in Istanbul for a whole year. And spent time with Fenerbahce. Greatest experience of my life. I was there the year they won the EuroLeague with Epe Udo.
And they take care of their player, another Baylor guy, right? But they take care of, you know, like, I used to, when I was younger and trained some, you know, I worked with a guy who played for VMI and played overseas. And he's like, yeah, they take care of you. You know, it's obviously, you're, I mean, Europe's a great place to live. Now, he's from middle America.
Depending on if you're in Moscow or if you're in Tel Aviv or Barcelona, there is a difference.
If you're playing for CSKA, maybe you're like, I don't know, it's a bit cold over
Kim
there.
Kim Ki or one of those.
A different story. But I do think he's got that game. I will say this. I think there is something to be said for Long Kruger guys that he gives guys, he's not Trae Young and he's not Buddy Hield, he gave him the reins this year. And I mean, he, you know, at times they were one of the best three or four teams in the Big 12 in a, you know, and he was first team all conference with a bunch of guys from NBA players. So he's got a massive chip on his shoulder. I can tell you that. He's tough as hell, like you said, but I mean, defense is probably an issue and, you know, there are some clear deficiencies, I'd say, in the athleticism department as well.
I think he's a better athlete than – I think this is where his kind of being white goes against him, because he is a good athlete. I mean,
I'm sorry. I watched him all year going up against Big 12 guys. So, yeah. So, relative to those guys, no. But we saw him against Gonzaga, and, I mean, he belonged out there with those guards, you know, against Nemhard especially.
Yeah, he – Go ahead. 27 points, 11 of 17. So, I think – sometimes it's just I don't know why it's natural and it's unfair that when you see a guy that's white, you automatically, you know, don't think that he's a good athlete. But the way that he was getting to the basket and scoring, you have to be a good athlete to do that. Like, I mean, Luka to me is a good example. People don't consider him an athlete, but he just has a different level of athleticism, like the step backs and all of that. To me, that's just as just as equal to being an athlete as a guy that can just jump straight up and down. So, I looked at like Obi Toppin, he considered him a great athlete because he can jump vertically, but he can't move side to side.
Right. He lacks lateral quickness. Well, it's a great
point. So I think Reeves is a good athlete though.
I think it's a lot of it's like movement, right? I love guys who are very intentional with the way they move. I talk about football all the time. Like, you know, Devontae Smith, he's a great example. It's, you know, it's guys that know that they can't always, you know, if people are more athletic than you, the way you beat that is, all right, no wasted movement, know how to get there and use whatever toughness athleticism I have to get there as fast as I can in whatever way, you know, works. I think Luke is a great example of, you know, like that step back. He's just always open. It just never gets blocked. And you think, you know, if you some rangy 6'7" guard, you know, Chris Middleton, whoever, you know, bigger than that, you think you could block it every time. You're like, how is this guy getting the shot off every time? Austin Reeves has a lot of that.
I agree 100%. And I was actually in Europe, Luka's, it was the year before he won MVP. And I was telling my friends, like, this kid is good. And the first thing they said, he's slow. And I love watching how these super athletic NBA defenders are trying to crowd him and get it in his face. And he's still getting to the basket at his own pace, at his own speed.
It's at his speed. Yep.
And I feel like to a certain extent, Austin Reeves was able to do that in the Big 12, you know, you knew that teams are going to put like their best defender on him, but he was still able to get to the basket. If I'm not mistaken, he averaged like 7 free throw attempts a game.
Oh yeah.
He has to be a good athlete to get to the lane that much to draw that many fouls. So yeah, I just think I just think he catches a lot of people off guard because he does not look like how he plays.
Today's show is also sponsored by the best protein bar out there right now, Built Bar. Guys, go to builtbar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to receive 15% off on your next purchase at builtbar.com. And go check out their Twitter account right now, @bar_built. If you guys go there, you guys can vote on your favorite Built Bar. They're doing Built Bar Madness right now. They have a bracket set up, and you can go to Built Bar on Twitter. It's @bar_built and go vote for your favorite. Check back each day to see who is winning. And then you guys, you know, try to push your favorite Built Bar to the top. Now it's going to be difficult
But with your help, you can push your favorite Built Bar to the top. Once again, go to builtbar.com today. Use that promo code LOCKED15. You'll receive 15% off on your next purchase. Last guy we'll talk about, and this is bizarre that we're talking about this, Rafael, that KU, Kansas, the Blue Blood, has maybe only one player as a pro prospect. I mean, I think Jalen Wilson, I'm not sure if he's leaving or not, has the athleticism to be a good, really good wing defender. But Oshai Igbaji is a pretty good shooter. I think a lot of people expected him. They needed somebody to step up and score the ball this year for Kansas, and he didn't. And I know it's college, but that was a bit alarming to me that as good of a shooter as he was, he couldn't take on the role as their full-time scorer a lot of the year. Pretty good athlete. I mean, if you're going to play for Bill Self, you're going to be good at defense. That team defended their tails off this year. That was their identity, so he's a good defender. I have my questions about Igbaji, though, at the next level.
You know what? I do, but I don't. I think okay. that in the college game, we wanted him to be like this scorer, like this guy that kind of takes the team and leads him. I feel like the way that he plays is the same way that he's going to have to play in the NBA. He already has like this role player type game.
Right.
And I think that the fit for him would be kind of seamless in a sense because he's going to have to play the same exact role. He's not going to have to adjust from being the man to, you know, having to pick your spots. So on one hand, I feel like that helps him. On the other hand, of course, you feel like you wanted him to do more. I think he's a junior. Yeah. And then he had a lot of people that were expecting him to break out his sophomore year. I know like going into, you know, his sophomore year, he was projected to be a first round pick. And then he's just kind of gotten to the point where he's been consistent and you haven't seen the growth. But I think that may help him because, like I said, the role that he plays at Kansas is going to be similar to the role that he'll have to play in the NBA. The 3-point shooting improved. I mean, yes. I think that was like the big question. On pretty good volume of attempts. I think if he can just become a knockdown shooter in the NBA and uses athleticism to be a plus defender, I think he can stick.
I think it's a good point. And what I like to see too, and I'm sure a lot of scouts do, is the when the numbers go up, you want to see the volume as well. And the volume for 3-point shooting wise went up, and so do his numbers the entire time. And that's really what he's going to be asked to do. So I agree with you. Yeah, from that perspective, I just think that you know, to really solidify, to put a stamp on the player he can be, I wanted to see a little bit more added to his game this year offensively. Yeah. Just a little bit
I agree 100%.
But you're,
you wanted to see him.
Go ahead, sorry.
You wanted to see him lead that team, you know? Right. You wanted to see him or Marcus Garrett be the man. And this is weird because this team struggled to score in a sense.
They could not score.
Yeah.
They were horrible.
But I think it fits for him. Like, I'm trying to think of a guy in the NBA that, you know, like, let's say he's not as big, but, you know, you look at a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith for the Mavs. He has one job on offense, which is to space the floor and knock down shots. Just be respectable. But his main thing is to play defense.
Right.
And if Igbaji can do that, just be a decent floor spacer. He has the athleticism to get out and, you know, make plays in transition. And then I like that he's a pretty decent rebounder as far as just, you know, coming up with energy play. So I think there is a spot for him. He's just going to have to be a second round pick and kind of earn his way in the rotation. But like I said, I think there's a spot for him.
Yeah, kind of almost like a Daniel House type guy. In that sense. Last question to you. Out of those guys that we talked about at the back end, which one do you like the most? Which one are you the highest on for their long-term NBA future? Kind of the McBride, the Austin Reeves, the Oshai Igbaji kind of category.
I feel like Igbaji has the more defined role out of the other three.
Right.
I think Reeves is a scorer. And I mean, that's what he does. He gets buckets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's good enough to where a team is going to give him the keys and the freedom to play the way that he's best suited to play. If he were able to, you know, become a better shooter, or if he goes back to the shooter that he was, then I think that opens everything up for him. But I don't think he's just going to be able to have like the volume and the usage to really be as effective as he was in college. So that's always kind of scary for me, guys that are big time scorers, that can they be complementary players around the guys that are making $25 and $30 million. So I think that's, you know, kind of the scary point for him. I think Agbaji is the worst of the three as a college player, but may have the best NBA career based off of fit alone, which makes scouting so difficult because you have to figure out how this guy is going to fit into the NBA. So, yeah, I think that he's the worst college player, but the best NBA prospect. Or I don't even think he'll be drafted the highest. I just think that he may have the best
staying power. You just kind
chance to stick.
Yep. Yeah. Rafael, I really appreciate your time. Where can people find you and all of your work in its variety?
So, yeah, I have a website, NBADraftJunkies.com. I also have a YouTube channel where I normally post a lot of videos. I've been kind of busy lately, so I haven't been able to post as much. But now that it's full draft season now, I'm going to try to get out at least 2 or 3 videos per week. So I still have a few months left. But then on Twitter, you can find me at Barlow500. But also, I wanted to thank you for having me on as a guest. I definitely enjoyed it. I'm sure this show could probably go on for another 2 hours.
We'll talk SEC guys next time around, right? You're talking about all the other guys from different conferences, but no, I really do appreciate your time and I love talking basketball, and we'll have you on probably somewhere closer to the draft. When is the draft? Is it right after the season again? What are they doing this
year? It's like July 28th or 29th. Cause I think the season is supposed to end. If it goes all the way to game 7, I want to say it's supposed to end at maybe like July. I don't know, like 18th or 19th or something like right. that. So we'll see if it goes 7 games, but I think they just set the day. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know it's the 28th or 29th.
Well, hopefully people won't waver on who should be picked where as much as they do in the NFL draft, because I can't take that anymore. It's driving me absolutely up a wall. But Rafael, appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, I want to thank Rafael Barlow for his time that he gave us. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. Follow me personally at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, please stay safe.